Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one and only Mod State Podcast. My friend, how are you?
I'm good. It's always good to be here with you.
Indeed.
Always.
Indeed. And, well, finally... Where do we start? Well, it's 2019, and no better time than to start the presidential campaign for the 2020 presidential election, you know? Like, early 2019.
Well, people started announcing. If they have the right to do that, we have the right to talk about it.
Well, that's absolutely correct.
That's street rules. That's not written anywhere. I'll write it down if y'all want me to.
However, it is January of 2019, and we are already beginning to talk.
See how he just cast us under my ideas, folks?
Maybe it's because I haven't followed presidential elections in the same way in terms of being part of an organization that is talks about politics.
I've not
been through a presidential election at Mod State, and
you were still in the military or just out? You were just out.
No, I was in. I was in.
Yeah,
it was my last.
How did your stomach feel?
You know, so I was in 2016. I was in Hawaii. So
in the military, you had to feel better.
Well, in the military, it is what it was. Like, this is just what it is, you know? And what was interesting about the 2020, the actual election day, was that, you know, we're
2016.
Yeah, 2016. We were like 8 hours behind in Hawaii. So as everyone on the East Coast was struggling to stay awake to see what, I mean, I literally was like cooking burgers on the grill and just because I could watch it right from the beginning. I was done with work and it was like, holy crap. This is actually happening. This is actually happening. And then it did. And, you know, it was like not even time to go to bed yet. And it was like, Jesus, Donald Trump is our president of the United States. Wow. This is kind of insane.
Yeah, man. It was like something out of Half-Baked.
Yeah, it was just literally like, what did I didn't even wake up to this. I just watched it happen. This is insane. So...
I stayed up watching that sucker. I had to see how badly I thought I might have set myself up to fail publishing my electoral map.
Well, you did fairly well. Yeah. So here we are 3 years later, and it just seems crazy that time has flown like that.
And the year the original Blade Runner was set in, my favorite film of all time. And yes, folks, bear with us. You're going to hear about 15 seconds about that probably every episode this entire year.
Well,
not really.
Oh my God, I hope not. No, I'm just kidding.
They're flying police cars. He see you, Blade Runner.
Wow. But here we are. And
tell me you've seen that film.
Oh no, for sure. I have.
I was going to say, Nate, I love you, but there are boundaries.
But you're dead to me. but here we are. And sure enough, we have slowly are learning about some Democratic nominees for, and not quite nominees, but candidates, if you will, for the Democratic side. And I'm sure the, what did you say, the 249 of them will slowly irk their way out of the woodwork here over the next couple months.
Kind of scary.
But what we do know is that Kamala Harris did officially announce her candidacy.
Tristan Gillibrand did, didn't she?
She did as well.
And then somebody who's already embarrassed themselves with their comments towards the LGBTQP+ crowd.
Mm. That's her, right? No, Tulsi. Her, so
there was somebody else.
Tulsi
there's
Gabbard.
Already, there's like yeah. four, five people already declared.
Tulsi Gabbard, I believe, is the other one. And then Elizabeth Warren's doing her exploratory right now, and of course they'll continue to come out of the woodworks. It isn't.
Bernie's going to run.
Yep. It isn't about speculating who is going to run. The real question to me, and obviously there's no, I mean maybe Mitt Romney's about to make a run, but I really don't care about the I really don't care about the GOP side right now, because it's
weird. Nobody's going to be the nominee except Donald John Trump.
That's the truth. You know, if the Mueller witch hunt quote unquote, resolves itself in 2019, I think he's almost an unstoppable force. However, it's the Democratic side that I think is going to be the most illuminating, because I believe that this truly shows the impending fracture within the Democratic Party. And I mean that very collectively, liberal, progressive, Democratic, the fissure in this sort of like-minded group of people. And who will actually, what will it take? What will the character of that person, what will that have to look like in order to combat the epic sort of thing that is the current president of the United States, Donald Trump?
Well, you referenced unstoppable forces there earlier, and I will continue to work in as well Dark Knight references, folks. Those of you who've been with us know this.
I'm sure you will.
But so you got Donald Trump here. He's the immovable object, really. All right. In the sense that he's going to be knocked off the plank. It works for the GOP side, yes, but the DNC is going to need an unstoppable force, because, you know, this is what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
Oh, wow. I set you up for that.
So that's what it's going to take, is which candidate out there can grasp. I'm sure they're woke when I love the irony of the alleged intellectual high ground holders using bad grammar to espouse their movement, but or their sentiment, but whatever. But the fact is, it's going to have to be a candidate that can see even beyond that, the big picture of how do I work as a political knife fighter, which is what it's going to take, and beat this guy.
Yeah, I mean,
while not losing their base, a fractured Democratic Party. You think 2016, the Republicans tore themselves apart?
Yeah, it will easily be that way in the Democratic side, 100%.
It might get worse.
It could get nasty in the sense that at least on the GOP side, the majority of those individuals, I think it, quote unquote, and bear in mind my French here, but the dick measuring contest on the GOP side and was really,
they did reference hand size and what that implied.
They did.
By the way, folks, there's no scientific data to back up either a proportion of body parts to phallic size, nor is there a major ethnic distinction. So let's roll all that in one go.
Okay, we cleared that up. It really was.
Don't get sideways, Nate.
Well, I think within the GOP, like most of those individuals held extremely similar viewpoints, and it really was a dick measuring contest to just like out shout the other one. That's how Donald Trump effectively won. But you cannot take a script into this gunfight with the president of the United States. It's just not going to happen.
Think about the rules change that we heralded, though.
Well,
Senator Sanders it now has to go to a second ballot for super delegates to matter. Well, if this big of a field, it could go to a second ballot. So can you imagine the fiasco of the Democratic organization? The machine of the DNC has to pick the nominee, which in effect would happen. No, it's going to implode.
Yeah. And on top of that, we touched on this on a recent podcast episode, is that the difference between the conservative party or the conservative like-minded individuals, there's far less identity politics within that group of people. And on the left, there's far more identity politics. There's far more tribes, if you will, within the sort of progressive liberal left-leaning side. And so,
at least in the voice of the side, yeah.
The voice.
As far as who's actually speaking, you're right about the right.
So
there's only so many spots at that table right now.
Like,
there's a lot more seats at the DNC.
It's true, and at least in the GOP, the majority of people.
That's Trump's party right now, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, majority of conservatives, I think, can eventually agree with the president on the many of the things that he ideologically believes. Whereas on the left, it really is not quite the same. I mean, you're losing the working class. You've got identity politics for marginalized groups that want certain things. It's just so many. There's so much fracture. Really, the only thing that, to me, carries the Democratic message, or the only unifying yet, and this is a super temporary and just not very foundational message, is just the hatred of the president and everything that he stands for, which is funny because I think there's a lot of things that he actually has done that I think center left, at least people can agree with, whether that's bump stocks or whether that's one step, etc. I mean, he just needs to do one more fairly moderate policy move, and he's really secured a lot of individuals who will vote for him again, whether that's legalization or decriminalization of marijuana or off Schedule One. I mean, all it would take is just something like that.
You throw in the ads because of the FBI agents and what BuzzFeed pulled, and then you look at, as I said, the precast, the same mistake in mentality being made by the Democrats here. And I'm making this remark as a neutral strategy, as a strategic thinker here at this moment, folks. Okay. They're making the same mistake again, and then in 2016, the whole mentality, if you're honest, was, we're not really going to elect this guy, are we?
Yeah, we said this. Yeah, you said this in a recent podcast and or episode as well. It's like, yeah, it's that idea. Like, look, everyone in the room, we're not doing this again, right? Like, you can't assume because all the message just has to do is click with that middle group of people who know that at least the guy's the president. Kind of full
of
shit.
Like 4% of the country is really in play.
Yeah, he's kind of an asshole, but at least what he says he's gonna do.
Well, that's the thing. They called him a box checker. The media is gifting him something there, because everybody goes, well, we all complain about politicians that don't do what they say they're gonna do. However ridiculous you think the wall, or one in, two out per regulations, executive order. How it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is it's
said he would do it and he's doing it trying.
Yeah, you've heard a lot of things like, well, it's time for a female president, it's time for a whatever you name it, it's time for this kind of candidate. At the end of the day, I think the majority of people don't really give a shit about
you want
what,
a winner.
What that person is. We want a winner. We want and we also, you know,
if you're a Democrat, you want a winner.
Yeah, I rather care more about this person's character and whether I believe them or not, and whether or not. It isn't really about believing the president, because again, if Mueller sort of absolves him from a lot of wrongdoing, then he might just be an asshole. He's not an asshole and a liar, and there's a big difference between just being an asshole and an asshole and a liar.
A lot of crazy liars around him.
Yeah, there certainly are. But
like Michael Cohen's be getting made into some hero, and I'm going, give me a break. I know. Look at the guy.
Yeah, it's a lot of marginal esque decisions made by that individual. But you know, so I'll be curious to see. Obviously, Kamala Harris, as we talk on this episode, Kamala Harris has had her her name thrown into the basket, and even already, you know, I think she's, for all intent and purposes, is a good candidate. I think she has had a good executive past in terms of the Attorney General of California, and not necessarily looking at her record, but just the ability to manage executively in a department there in California.
But
already the left, who, if you know this, if we weren't in these times, you know, I'm already labeling her as, well, she's a cop, like she can't be trusted, or just based on the jobs that she had. And I'm not digging into her full track record, but
no, but the point is, it's like she's already being, oh, she worked for the man.
Yeah, it's already being labeled as, or already characterizing somebody without listening to their sort of presidential platform, because your identity politics might not line up with what she's done in the past, or
it's a really good way to lose this election.
It's exactly. So my point being, if this is where we are starting, it's
let's
almost
not end up there.
It's almost as if we're starting somewhat defeated. You know, even if you have a strong moderate candidate like a Joe Biden, if you don't give him a chance to sort of evolve as a human being, then he's going to be decimated by the left off the bat, whether it's the Anita Baker, whether it's plagiarizing Kennedy's speeches back in the day, like whatever it is, you know, he'll get eaten alive too. So like, what's the strategy here? My question then is, what do y'all want? Because realistically,
I told you the only way to do this.
Like,
you're going to go to this knife fight, you don't apologize for shit. No pun intended. All right. You don't. No, you say in political ease, you say, hey, I was just trolling. That's your version of an apology, if need be. That is the only way, because they see Trump, whether he does actually identify them or not. They see him as real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to be, authenticity is going to win through. You may not like what is authentic here, okay?
Well, even
it could be an authentic nuclear bomb, but it's authentic.
Because ultimately, if you have the most authentic candidate that aligns with all of your identity politics, that person's not going to win. And if you're worried about another 4 years of Donald Trump, then you have to compromise with...
Well, think about it. I've referenced the Alice in Wonderland before. Think about the Cheshire Cat when Alice asked which way she should go. And he said, well, which way do you want to... Where are you trying to go? And she said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, then it really doesn't matter which road you take now, does it?
Yeah.
That's kind of where the Democrats are at right now. It's like, well, we don't know where we want to go. Well, then you've got a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Then I guess, you know, good luck, essentially.
Right. Who's going to survive that otherwise, you know?
Because and to just say, like, look, we have 500 candidates that are running for the Democratic Party. We'll just whittle down and hopefully we get to... It doesn't work that way. Like, it doesn't... You're not going to get... You're not going to... I just don't feel like you're going to get the full unification or the most unification you can if people aren't logically thinking about...
Fractured base with an exhausted general public who's going to see, if nothing else, consistency, maybe consistent inconsistency. But they're going to see something.
Well, they know what they're getting into. That's for sure. By voting for Donald Trump, they know what they're getting into.
Depending upon how bad it gets, which I think it's going to get pretty bad.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to assume right now. But I think if anything on the left in the culture that is there today, I don't know. I don't think that there's going to be some magic button, wand, et cetera, that's going to change, magically for the 2020 election, that we're all going to be unifying.
The Republicans joining the Democrats in repealing whichever amendment and allowing Barack Obama to run again.
And
I also have some real estate for sale that's on the oceanfront in Arizona, and I can offer you a good deal on a lease on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, God. Well, hey.
I got jokes.
Yeah, God. Well, you know, I didn't mean for this episode to be very long, because I think we're just kind of testing the waters for 2020, because we're going to have a lot of conversations about 2020 as more candidates come out.
Hey, don't apologize for that, Nate. Look, the fact is, folks, y'all love it. All right? The Super Bowl sized audience for the debates in the 2016 presidential election, the three nominee debates, they weren't watching that to see Secretary Clinton.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, to wrap this up, speaking of the Super Bowl, and for our international listeners and for all of our listeners who don't follow the NFL, I will say I was rooting for the Saints. I really was. I really would have liked to see Drew Brees in the Super Bowl. But it was a tough game.
You had to do it.
I'm sorry. I know we didn't talk about it. For those of you who don't follow NFL or American football, the New England Patriots and the LA Rams will be in the Super Bowl in February. And Tom Brady, good Lord, 40-plus years old and going for a sixth championship. It's quite remarkable.
My older brother's right. It was a game-changing non-call at the end of the game. Okay, the Saints did get screwed. That's not an opinion. Anybody that's not familiar, look up the play. It's before the ball got there and helmet to helmet. Two different penalties they could have called. I get that. But the Saints should never have been in that situation.
Exactly.
They had multiple opportunities to win that game. Brees did not have a good game. The defense did everything they could and more.
Exactly. And that
at least the Saints were not 3-13 like it was when I was a teenager. My nephews were inconsolable. I'm like, guys, at least they're in the conversation these days. We used to be a joke.
Exactly. Well, it comes from a consummate Detroit Lions fan that has never seen anything close to that. So, but yeah, I couldn't go without just talking about the Saints.
Oh, and I, you know, Sean Payton, the head coach, I love him. He could get signed to a lifetime deal as far as I'm concerned. You know, I He looked like he wanted to cry post game, but you know, sure. I teared up for him.
Yeah,
but
it's tough.
But at least we were, you know, again in the conversation, and I know every team has a special connection with their city, but especially after Katrina, would the team stay? Would the team not? The embrace now that team, the folks that question spending all that money to repair the dome for an NFL team, y'all don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay. My father put it best, I think. If you had taken the Saints out of New Orleans permanently, they did it in 05 just due to the damage. If you'd done that permanently, you might as well rolled up the sidewalks in the city, because that team now is as big a part of that city as Jazz is. I'm from there. I mean, it's just you can't separate it now. People that don't like sports, they at least know how the team is doing because they got to listen to coworkers.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
I mean, I put it this way. Soccer, while not a sport, it's the beautiful game. It's my favorite sport, but the Saints are my favorite team.
Yeah. No, I understand. Well, my friend, we won't belabor the Saints any longer, but always,
thanks a lot.
Sorry. As always, it's an absolute pleasure and honor to do this with you, my friend. So until next time.
Au revoir.
We'll see you.